Hey guys, it's Connor McDavid here, and you're listening to Brad and Avery Hour.
Hey, what's going on? This is Master Chief coming your way. And is there an hour you need to lock into? Yes, it's the Brad and Avery Hour, the only hour you need to lock into.
Yo, 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 what is up? What is up? What is up? Episode 45 of the Brad and Avery Hour is live. This is Brad Bartko, and I'm Avery Lewis McDougal.
I'm back.
Yes, he is.
Get you back.
He's back in the saddle.
Oh, that seat was warm for Mike, but I'm back.
Yes, he is. I want to see him. I'll start by saying, first things first, Brad, Bumble is a scam. The dating app, yes.
What?
It's a scam.
Is this guy on Bumble? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I was many moons ago.
Oh my God.
People told me, you know what? As you don't know, I'm single, by the way.
I thought that was the gay dating app. Just saying.
How do you know what app that is?
Oh, man. Oh, wait. No.
How do you know what gay dating apps are?
I won't get into it.
Anyway, point being is that Bumble, told me, you know what? Pay for it, see how it goes. Pay for these dating apps. I tried it. No matches. Oh, scam.
It's not a scam. Oh, man.
I'm done with these apps, man. I'm done.
Hey, I met my wife through an app.
You're one of the few success stories on these dating apps.
I met my wife through an app.
I'm saying you're a success story. Yeah, you're one of the few.
You need to give it time.
Time.
That's all it needs. I don't know why all of a sudden this became the Howard Stern show. This is the Brad Avery Hour. Episode 45.
And yes, the Michael Jordan episode.
Well, yeah, technically it's that two because 23 and then
45. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Some big stuff coming out this week. We're gonna announce on the show next week. With the charity event moving forward, so we're 1 week away from that big announcement. Final stages of prepping tomorrow, meeting here in Howie's. But to kick things off tonight, then before we get there, of course, we got lots of sports to talk about, including the Oilers and their playoff hopes slowly, or I should say, rapidly diminishing.
Rapidly, they're dead. They're done after losing in Vegas 6-3. They got hammered to New Jersey. They got hammered again against Las Vegas. I'll put that win against Arizona there, a game in which they could have easily lost.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? I watched the tail end of that Vegas game. There was I caught the entire third period. But Mikko Koskinen needs to make those saves.
He has to.
The Alex Tuck goal should not go in. That's a save you need to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you need – yes – Leon Draisaitl made a terrible mistake. It was brutal. But you got to bail out your team. You got to bail out your players. That's a play he needs to make. The glove hand that Marshall Schoen made there in the second period bounced off his glove into the net. He's got to make that. I'll give him the no goal call.
Mm-hmm.
That was something.
Right.
They need to look at that review further.
To.
I think I think the league needs to revamp the entire review. I don't know if you've seen in the Philly game over the weekend, they forgot to block out the number for Toronto for the upstairs.
No, that was about Boston.
Sorry. So people actually tried it and they got through and they called. So if I'm an Oilers fan that night, I am calling that number. And I'm getting mad at whoever the hell is on the other end of the phone. And I'm like, what in the world? How?
I guarantee you that number has been changed now once they realize
how is that a goal?
I guarantee
tell
you number.
Me how, tell, I don't care about the number. Tell me how that is a goal. He has it. He saved it. He's got the puck. And yet it pops free.
I guess the argument could have been was that he didn't have full control, I guess. But it still was such a bang, bang play. And it was one that could have gone either way. They ruled it was a goal, but there's still too much of a gray area when it comes to goal reviews in NHL. There still is.
Well, it needs to be fixed, and I think it needs to be fixed fast.
No, it's good.
You mentioned the Oilers light dimming. I just heard you or seen you today on Twitter get a little bit upset when somebody mentioned the tandem of Keith Gretzky and Glenn Gullickson a head coach next year. You know what, Avery? That is a very real and very, very real possibility. Look, Glenn Gullickson, I don't believe. I like Glenn Gullickson, I do. Stay behind the bench. Perfect. That's fine. But they're grooming one of these three associates to be the next head coach.
They probably are.
I agree. Whether it's Glenn Gullickson, whether it's Manny Viveros, or
Trent Yanni.
Now, does that happen next year? Probably not. Does it happen after the next coaching change? Quite possible. Now, because we all know Ken Hitchcock's going.
Yeah, that's right.
Keith Kresge, look, he's never been tied to the old boys club.
The name is still Gretzky.
It's still Gretzky. I get that, and that's why people are upset. In the grand scheme of things, I had this conversation over the weekend, even with my source with the LA Kings, and he thinks he is the man for the job. He's liked what he's done. He's liked around the other 30 GMs. He does things and makes calls the right way. The way he handled the Ryan Spooner debacle and ended up getting a serviceable player back in Sam Gagner, who's turned out to be an excellent addition in my mind to this Edmonton third line, and they got up for one more year. That was a great deal. And then freeing up money, you get by Cam Talbot, freed up some money, Stolarz. Obviously, look, if he doesn't play the 10 games, becomes a UFA, they're not going to re-sign him. He'll be gone. They'll be in the market for a backup goaltender. Do I think Mikko Koskinen's a guy? No. I really don't. After seeing them the last stretch, I don't think he's the guy. But for me, look, I'm okay with Keith Gretzky. But for me, the number one option, and you're going to have to wait, but the number one option is Kelly McCrimmon. And if not Kelly McCrimmon, I like Mike Fuda or I like Al Murray. Those are my top three choices that you're making phone calls to. Sean Burke's a possibility, again, because he's connected to Bob Nicholson. I'm not sure I like that. So those are my three choices. Now, head coach, an interesting one came up. It's been out there a while. But one for me, Mr. Chris Knoblauch. Connections to McDavid. He coached McDavid. He's got connections there. There's some ties there. Now, for me, it's going to come down to him. It's going to come down to one of those three behind the bench in Edmonton now, or it's going to be a bigger name. Maybe an Elaine Vigneault becomes available. Maybe they talk to him and he comes back to Canada because he coached in Vancouver, as we know. We see the name Joe Quenneville. Could he be a possibility? But I think they need someone a little bit younger. We noticed Ken Hitchcock. Look, I like Hitchcock. I think he's a great, intelligent coach. He knows the game, but he's a little too tough on the players at times, and that really wears a player out. Players become parent deaf, as we like to call it, and they start to tune you out. So there's a few. I think it's going to be an interesting summer. We talked about it over the weekend. I'm going to get your input, too. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Evan Bouchard? Now, this is a guy, the Oilers drafted 10th overall, fell in their lap at 10th overall. Great selection, great pick. I love the guy. He moves the puck unbelievable. He just recorded his 200th OHL point in his career up there. Absolutely tearing out the OHL. Is this guy ready to make the jump next year?
Next year, possibly, I would start him in Bakersfield next year. See if he plays there in AHL for, I don't know, give him 10, 15 games, just give him used to get into pro hockey, and then bring him up. I do think that you're right. I agree with you in that. He was a great selection. He moved the puck. He's got offensive touch. I said, yeah, bring him up. Of course, let him go to camp with the big boys. Send him to Bakersfield. Give him a little bit of time there, and then bring him into the lineup. But I don't want him getting lost in NHL. I want him to adjust to it. I don't want him being lost in pro hockey.
So, look at this. Is it a fair assessment? Is it fair to say that we're still 2-3 years away here? You look at in two seasons, Andre Sekera comes off the books. Chris Russell comes off the books. Hope to God something happens with Milan Lucic.
It has to.
And that comes off
it has to.
The books. So, if you, there could be some money to come off in the next 2 years. Stay pat. Don't change anything yet. Don't make any drastic decisions. And then in 2 to 3 years, this team could be a powerhouse. Or do you think we have enough patience to wait 2 to 3 seasons?
We've been talking about patience for who knows how long. This team. If you're not winning by, I'm sorry, you have to win and be winning next year. You can't be waiting any longer. You got to find a way to dump Milan Lucic, because Lucic has, he has less than 20 points. That's embarrassing.
And he keeps
on getting slotted on the first line. He's a boat anchor. Like, he can't keep up anymore in the first line. Put on the third and fourth rest of the year. I don't want to see Milan Lucic playing any higher than the third line. I'm sorry.
So, look, with the cap going up this season to, what is it, 79?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, 79.1 or something. So, 79. Is there a move or moves? How does this summer, in your eyes, put the GM hat on for just a sec? How do you see the summer shaping out? Are you hoping by draft time they have a GM, at least a GM in place?
I hope so.
And then let that GM select his coach. Mm-hmm. So maybe we don't have a coach till July, but that's okay. Make it thorough and let that GM make that call. Not Bob Nicholson. If it's not Keith Gretzky, don't let him make that call. Don't let Dale Cates make the call. Let the new GM make the call. What moves are you looking to make this offseason?
Well, I think starting off, one, you got to either deal Lucic or bite the bullet and buy out that contract, because it's clear that he's lost Edmonton now. He's not what he was in Boston or Los Angeles anymore. Clearly not the same player anymore.
See, and for me, there's two options you can do with that. There's two teams, and we talked about this for a couple weeks. There's two teams that are going to be at the cap floor that are going to need to take on a bad deal or two. One being Ottawa, two being Columbus. Now, the thing with that is you have to persuade him to get out. Now, is it bad enough right now for Milan Lucic that he would accept, regardless, a change of scenery to Columbus or to Ottawa?
You know what? Columbus, maybe. Ottawa, I don't think. I think Ottawa right now is, you think Edmonton's bad? Ottawa is the true tire fire.
Although they did beat Toronto, let's give them that.
They did. I think, I would love to see some way, somehow, you get out of Ottawa a Thomas Chabot or an Anthony Duclair.
Right.
But, again, I don't think Milan would want to go to Ottawa. That's the big problem with that.
So what other impact moves could you make at the GM to really put your stamp? If you're a new GM coming into a new situation, what moves could you make to really put your stamp on this team? Who's your untouchable? Do you even look at dealing Leon Draisaitl? Do you even look at dealing, maybe does it come up where a Caleb Jones gets you a better player? An Ethan Bear gets you a better player? Could you look at moves like that, or are you not touching that?
I think I'll compare it to, Draisaitl, you keep dry. It would be like the same way if in 2008 you said, dang, we're not here yet with Crosby and Malkin. Let's trade Crosby or Malkin.
I hear you.
I feel like good teams do not trade those level players to try and find somebody else. Good teams bring as many good players as they can into their lineup. That's why Pittsburgh has won cups with Malkin, Crosby, Kessel. They acquire big name assets.
Right.
Only Edmonton do we figure, oh, we have a star player? We can't have more than one. Out you go.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. No, we can't. No, you got to find a way to keep dry, keep Connor, and keep Oscar Klefbom. You're lacking D-men. Quality D-men. You got to keep those three guys.
So, again, what then, if that's your keepsake, what moves do you make?
If it comes down to it, maybe Caleb Jones does become a piece you treat deal with. I don't want to, but if it can net you, like you said, a Thomas Chabot or somebody else, possibly. I do listen to it far more than I do listening to a deal at Draisaitl leaving Edmonton.
Now, what do you do with the goaltending? Obviously, clearly, I don't think we're fully comfortable with Mikko Koskinen. Now, I trust in Dustin Schwartz to get this right this summer. This is his first year back in North America. I'll let that be his mulligan. Now let's work on some things this summer and get better. Get to be that goaltender that the Oilers thought you should be, and Peter Chiarelli obviously thought he would be in signing that massive extension, which is done now. You can't reverse it. So clearly moving forward, he's the goaltender. Mm. Is there a better option? Do you see maybe a fix?
I just watch Mikko Koskinen. First of all, I said it before on social media. He's 6'7", but he plays so low when facing a shooter, which I don't understand. That's how a guy who is on skates, who's almost 7 feet tall, does not stand up tall in net. It doesn't get makes no sense at all. But I do think that goaltending wise, I don't think Andy Stolarz is the answer long term for a backup.
No.
You know, there's a name out there who
Marty Turco, right?
No, Marty Turco. I'm kidding. You know, he's a name I've watched for a long time, but he's just struggled in Toronto. I wonder, he might be he's a project. He's still a good project. I wonder if it's like a Garrett Sparks might need a fresh start.
Wow.
Because Garrett Sparks, to me, I covered Garrett Sparks while he lived in Toronto. I covered the Marlies a lot. I saw a lot of Garrett Sparks in the AHL, and he was a quality netminder. He's just struggling to make the adjustment to become an NHL netminder. I'm not sure if it's the fact he's still in Toronto, lights are a little bit brighter, but I would look and bring Garrett Sparks as possibly a backup next season.
And he would come in relatively cheap, you would think. He's not going to demand Mikko Koskinen money, as we should say now. Man. I also quickly, before we get away here, we should give Marcel a shout out because we are promoting his summit show here in Edmonton.
April 6th and 7th. Millennium Place, Short Park.
We announced when he was on, George LaRocque would be the signer. LaRocque, Joe Carter, Damon Allen were the signers announced. Well, if you haven't been catching up, he announced a boatload more. And the signers being Eddie Belfour, one of my favorite goaltenders growing up, a former Dallas Star, Chicago Blackhawks, Toronto Maple Leafs,
San Jose Sharks, Panthers,
many teams. So Eddie will be in town that weekend, as well as two Oiler, I wouldn't classify them as greats, but they're there. And that being the Stanley Cup hero. Oh, wait, they fell short that year, but he was still a hero. And they gave him the big extension anyway. Fernando Pisani will be in the building. And as well, I wouldn't say all-time favorites, but one of my favorites.
Wow, he's not your all-time favorite?
No. Number 21.
I will tell him that. I'm going to tell him that.
The guy in the back end, the guy they call Gator, Mr. Jason Smith will be in the building as well that weekend. What a jam-packed lineup. Jam-packed weekend. Let's not forget Bernie Perron as well will be there. And we will be live on location that weekend. We haven't nailed down dates yet. We will be in a booth, though, so come on down. Say hello. We'll be there representing with Howie's and, of course, Travel Gurus. We'll be all together.
We'll be signing stuff too as well.
We'll be signing autographs. Avery's got his top of calendar out just in time. So he'll be signing those for $25 a pop. And I'll be kissing babies for about 100. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. We'll sign your kids as well too, right in the foreheads.
Right in the forehead. BNA. Also, big shout out as always, week in and week out. We couldn't have done this without these guys. We want to thank Howie's, the people behind us, Starlight Casino, Match, and of course, none other than Travel Gurus. Hyder can't be with us. He's in Egypt and Lebanon right now, enjoying some family time. So we wish him the best, and we can't wait till he gets back. And of course, we want to thank Jack, Raymar, Dave, Mike Vickerman, and Tina, who you've seen this last week on the page, big shout out to those guys for allowing us to do what we do week in and week out. We're so ever grateful. Now, moving forward, Avery, let's chat a little bit about a sport that I love. My second love, I would say my third one because my wife is first, hockey's of course second, and of course baseball, and then of course Vic Michaels, and then yourself.
No, wow.
I'm kidding. Baseball is back.
Yes, it is.
And man, can I smell it in the air? Man, I'm excited for one guy only, and that being Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Wow, only him?
No, him and Bobo.
He's the guy playing baseball on the continent.
I know. Hey, listen, relax. That's my excitement right now. Fernando Tatis as well in San Diego. I'm excited for Victor Robles. A lot of young talent coming. I'm super excited for this year. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to be any good, but they'll be exciting.
And it will be. Oh, and you mentioned, I feel old.
Oh.
I feel old because you mentioned Fernando Tatis.
And I have a gift.
Oh, yes. Hey,
doesn't it feel great to be the presence of a champion? Because guess what?
You're not a Boston Red Sox.
I'm a champion. I'm a champion.
You don't play for Boston. What are you talking about, champion?
I'm a champion.
Look at this guy.
I was at WWE Live Edmonton, by the way. This is where I got this. Big wrestling fan. For those of you that know me. And thanks to Vic Michaels, who got me hooked on wrestling. So this one's for you.
This guy with his belt.
Brock Lesnar, come get it. I got it.
Yeah, well,
you're in Saskatchewan somewhere, so come find me.
She'll German suplexy right through a window. You're mentioning Fernando Tatis. I feel old knowing that Fernando Tatis has a kid in the major leagues. Fernando Tatis Jr. And you know, do you know what he did that no other player had ever done before in a major game? What Fernando Sr. did?
What's that?
I don't know.
You gotta tell me.
Two grand slams in the same inning.
Ooh, I think I remember that. I didn't remember the name, but I do remember that.
Only player to ever do that.
That's correct.
Has not been matched.
Yeah, let me ask you this then. Outside of the Blue Jays, and look, they're going to be exciting. They're going to be fun. Are they going to be good? No. They're going to be fun. Boba Shett's coming. Vlad Guerrero's coming. Biggio is right around the corner coming. Sean Foley Reed is coming. Mm-hmm. Danny Jensen, of course, is already here, but he is coming. The talent is there. Let's not forget Gurriel Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rowdy Tellez, I think will be here this year at some point. Some major talent there. So outside of the Jays, because we all know they might finish the bottom of the AL East, who's the other team you're keeping an eye on this year that could surprise people?
That could surprise people? Ooh, that's a tough question right there. Who could surprise? Like you really in baseball get a true shock of a team. But I'm gonna say once again, Tampa Bay. They're a team who shocked us last year. They were supposed to be in full tank mode last year.
This is true.
Won 87 games.
And then they had a guy like Charlie Morton in the offseason this year, and if Blake Snell can keep the form, he's keeping of course a very Cy Young winner.
Mm-hmm.
Great young pitcher there. And just some great talent in Tampa Bay. Hopefully they can put some more butts in seats there in St. Petersburg. And that's kind of the only thing that's not very good there right now.
No.
For me, look, outside the whole Bryce Harper thing and Bryce Harper leaving, for me, the Washington Nationals are still intriguing. You lose a guy like Bryce Harper, but you add a guy like Patrick Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
You add two legitimate catchers that can catch this rotation in Kurt Suzuki and a former Blue Jay in Yan Gomes.
That's right.
Let's not forget, you still have Max Scherzer.
Yes.
One of the best in the game. You still have Steven Strasburg. And you also added Anibal Sanchez to kind of be the anchor of that rotation. Let's not forget Sean Doolittle, as always, in that bullpen. But, man, you get rid of Bryce Harper, but you add pieces, and let's not – the guy I just mentioned, Victor Robles, is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Juan Soto is there.
Oh, yeah, he's been killing it.
So much talent. This team could be a surprise for me. And another team I really, really – like this year is the St. Louis Cardinals. With Paul Goldschmidt there now, I think that adds to them. I think the Braves as well. We talked about it at dinner. I have Josh Donaldson being the bounce back player of the year. I think he's got something to prove on a 1-year deal, only $20 million, signed with the former GM of the Blue Jays, Alex Anthopoulos, doing some great work there. Let's not forget it. Acuna's there. Some great young pitching there as well. So this team could also make a run at things.
Absolutely.
It's almost a changing of the guard in the major league. You're so used to seeing the Yankees and the Red Sox, and they will still be there. But now you have teams coming. The Phillies spent money. The Padres spent money in Manny Machado. Right? Nobody really is giving the Phillies a shot in that division. Do you give them that chance? Do they win that division?
I, of course, give them a shot. You have Bryce Harper. They have a guy who can give you 100 RBIs, can give you 35 homers. You cannot count on Philadelphia. Whoever said that Philadelphia will not be a playoff team is an idiot.
Yeah.
The Phillies are going to be making noise in that division.
See, for me, there's still two giant fish out there. Reliever Craig Kimbrel and, of course, starter Dallas Keuchel.
Mm-hmm.
I am shocked they're not signed yet. Although the free agents window and the free agent period has been very weird, Bryce Harper and Machado didn't sign until very late, although they got what they wanted. Bryce Harper, of course, 13-year deal. And no opt-outs either in that contract.
He's locked in Philadelphia.
He is committed to the Phillies. He's already recruiting Mike Trout to come there, who's a season ticket holder, the Eagles.
Blatant tampering, by the way.
Yeah, very much so. But hey, that happens now. I wonder if Ken Griffey Jr. will come back and play with them as well. I don't know. It's just going to be a great year in baseball. I'm excited. I don't think I've been this excited for a season in a very long time. There's lots of talent coming. And like I said, for me, Vlad Guerrero is all eyes are on the younger number 27.
That will be. And I want to see how his game will develop because, it's funny because unlike his dad, he's not a bad ball hitter. You saw Vlad Sr. You could throw a ball over the man's head, and he would still swing it into the gap for a double.
Yeah, he's very patient at the plate, for sure.
That's the one thing was, Vlad adapts to a full season, as close to a full season major league play as possible, depending on when he gets called up. But I want to see how that works out, but also, too, in major league. You know what, to be honest, Brad? I'm almost more excited or intrigued about 2020 than 2019, because in 2020, you're going to have all these rule changes coming in.
Right.
Involving the fact that in 2020, this is the last year for relievers to be able to come in, face one batter, and leave the ball game.
That's correct. The limit will be three.
And rosters are going to be trimmed down in September. No more 40-man rosters in 2020.
Right.
It's 28, which is a huge drop.
Huge drop.
And the pitch clock is going to be shelved for a bit. I know they're testing out in the Atlantic League. Indie League, they're testing out the
robots,
idea.
Right?
Robot strike zone, bigger bases, and moving the mound back by 2 feet.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, I didn't know that one.
So I think it'll be interesting to see how that works out, but I don't, people say, you're ruining strategy by having a pitcher face three batters, and then he has to be a stay in the game. I don't really see a problem with. I'm not as mad about that as other people are. I don't see the huge. I'm not as mad about the fact that you're gonna have make a pitcher face three batters until he gets pulled. I don't see. I'm not really.
No, me neither. No, I'm not. I'm not either. They had Mad Dog. I don't know if you watch his show on MLB Network. He had somebody on from I believe it was the Braves. Just our pitching coach, and he said he hates it. The idea he hates it and the reason he hates it is because it takes away the strategy, and he thinks it's advantage hitter. It's advantage hitter now every time if you have to face the minimum of three batters, and there's no strategy in it where if you have a right-handed versus a left-hander, and he's not very good against a right-handed batter, well, that's full advantage to the batter, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It'll see it works. You know what? Maybe it's a 1-year rule that gets changed. We'll see.
Yeah.
Because rules can easily be changed.
Are you open? How do you feel about that opening the season in Japan?
I like that. I like the fact that MLB is becoming even more of a global sport. They've done it almost every year. They always do the Japan series in the wintertime.
Right.
So I do like the fact that they're going back more global again, more games over in Japan. And in June and July, they're playing in London for the first time.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're playing the first three games in Europe. So I like the fact that MLB is trying to become more of a global league. And it'll most likely be, from what we think, Ichiro's last game that it'll be with Mariners over there. We think. We don't know for certain.
Wouldn't that be something?
I don't know. Like, Ichiro's kind of guy where he's kind of relented. Like, he was in press conference, he's in interviews over there saying, you know what, if I do retire, well, it happens. But I don't think he's going to quit. He hasn't said he's going to retire yet.
Well, it comes down to, though, do the Mariners want him? Right. That's the other thing, right?
That's the problem.
Is he taking a roster spot just to take a roster spot? Does he actually have gas left in the tank? If so, maybe they trade him.
The problem is, though, his bat is – he only hit 089 in spring training. His bat is nowhere near what it was.
Right, right. So maybe he becomes a bench player, a utility guy. I don't know anymore. I don't know really what he's got left as – well, maybe a World Series. He's got left to prove, and that's about it.
Which he has. He won it. He won that in New York in 09.
That's right.
So he doesn't
know. He did, yeah. So he's got nothing else to prove. I mean, it's, you know, when your body tells you to hang it up, it's time to hang it up.
And that's the thing.
Sounds
that
like Chris Chelios.
Yeah.
Or Ric Flair still wrestling.
Ric Flair knew when it's time to go, but it's like, it's tough because baseball is one of sports where you can play. There will be a long history of guys playing to their 40s and some into their 50s.
Rafael Palmeiro.
Hey, he's playing indie ball at 54 years old. Mm-hmm. And wants a deal. So you never know. But that's the problem is that you can be good in a part-time role. It's how can that body hold up for a full season? And that's where guys truly break down once they reach 43, 44, 45.
Are you buying into the Cincinnati Reds? They made that deal of bringing Puig. They brought in Alex Wood.
Matt Kemp as well, too.
Matt Kemp. They traded and re-signed Sonny Gray. Is this Reds team for real, or is it more of a, we wanted to make a move but we're not really going to be there. They got Nick Senzel coming. It's going to be an incredible shortstop in this league for years to come. I mean, are they really legit?
They'll be interesting to watch. If they don't win the division, I think they'll definitely be a team to watch a wildcard race in the National League. Like, they'll be a team I'll keep an eye on. I think Gastel Puig, he's the kind of guy who wants to, I think, make an impact in Cincinnati and show the Dodgers they may regret dealing him away.
Well, this is Walk here, too, so he's fighting for another contract after this year as well. I want to move over and spend some time now on the NFL, if we may. And, wow, did the Cleveland Browns make shockwaves? I think that's what caused the earthquake here in Red Deer. It was that bad.
The Cleveland Browns.
Or maybe the Avalanche in Banff today. The Cleveland Browns. Oh, my goodness. Where did this come from? John Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns are all of a sudden, for the first time in our lifetime, Avery, our lifetime, they are legit. Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
Jarvis Landry. Baker Mayfield. Whoa.
And Nick Chubb as well, too. That's a team.
Let's not forget Nick Chubb. Yeah, wow.
That's a team where they're going to be impact. You mean impact franchise for a while now, I think, in the AFC.
I hope so. I mean, they need something. Cleveland's been wearing paper bags over their heads for the last 30 years almost, and you know, it's...
Well, not that long. They were, once upon a time ago, a decent franchise.
The Indians are somewhat relevant again. They got something to cheer about. LeBron left, so everybody's crying because the Cavaliers suck again. They had no hope until about a week ago. Odell Beckham Jr. shows up, and they're going to win the Super Bowl. And let me tell you, this team has a shot.
They do.
They have a legitimate opportunity to win a title. Maybe not now. Maybe not this year. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's the year after. But they are now this much closer than they ever were. Yeah. What's in the water in Cleveland and why now?
Well, it's surprising to see the Browns, first of all, making good deals. This is a team that used to flee. This is a team that used to make head-scratching decisions as a franchise.
I'm sure Johnny Manziel regrets leaving now, right?
Well, he wasn't really wanting. He didn't leave. He was wanting. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
It wasn't his choice. But if you're Baker Mayfield, you're looking, sitting back thinking, dang, I got some real weapons. I got some true weapons now, even more so. Like, that's – and people are saying how, oh, could Baker ever slump? I think Baker Mayfield's the kind of guy. I compare him in the sense of I see a little bit of Michael Vick in him in the sense of where his sophomore year will be better by a lot.
Very much so. Michael Vick's a good comparison. And the other one.
Now, someone's going to scream at me and say, no. Now, if you know the context of what you just said in terms of first year, second year, that's where Michael Vick comparison is. Not in his running ability, okay?
Now, chill. The thing that concerns me, and please try and scroll down. Do we have a question?
Let's see. I know we got some
more
viewers coming in.
Oh, here we go. Hi, Steph.
Stephanie.
We see Jerry in there. You know, there's a bunch here. We appreciate all you guys. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Jerry was just in Vegas. I wonder if he's still there. Are you stuck on a rooftop, Jerry? Is it a hangover? Hangover part five? Are you okay? Let us know you're okay, and we won't send the search team. I'm pretty sure he was back this week. He went and watched the Oilers in Vegas.
Like many did.
Like many did. So it was fun. We have a fan walking through the the house too. Did you want to come say hi to the viewers? We have a she tried to sneak through, but we thought we'd grab her.
Hey guys.
So let everybody know who you are.
Yeah.
I'm Brandy. I work at Holly's, and I love Brad, so every time he's in, I'll go say hello to him.
We have a fan club. That's
there you
good.
Go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yeah, have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Just some of the wonderful people that we work with, and, you know, she's always been good to me and, of course, good to really everybody. Shaq is great, and this has become family. People, I don't think, sometimes get the magnitude of what this really means to us to be able to do this week in and week out. 45 weeks, we built some pretty strong relationships, some pretty strong connections. I think we've gotten a lot closer as well over those weeks. So I'm just very grateful and honored to be part of such a great family. But back to speaking of family. Well, there was a couple of divorces, and that being the Pittsburgh Steelers. First, Antonio Brown signs the divorce paper and says, I want a new wife in John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders. Mm-hmm. And then LeBell says, I'm never coming back.
And the New York Jets.
I'm going to go and fill the shoes of a guy like Curtis Martin, the old school running back for the Jets. And he's going to team up with Sam Darnold. It's going to be weird, Avery. There was so much changeover this year in the NFL. Is there really one team, outside of Cleveland, of course, is there one team to you that stood out that said, those are my dudes for next year?
Those are my dudes for next year? Well, that's a tough one.
Let's go down again.
Well, I know the team that's not my team next year is going to be the New York Giants. That's a team that's going to be, ouch. But the team has really made. I'm trying to think who's really made an impact. Ooh. I'm trying to think who has really been that team.
No, one team. I can't get on the Oakland Raiders band. I can't do this whole AB thing. After what? Yeah, look. Ben Roethlisberger is Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's the problem as well. I think Pittsburgh has more deep rooted issues than Antonio Brown. But I don't like the way Antonio Brown carries himself. I don't like it. There's a line. We talk about it all the time. Between cocky, you got that cockiness, that arrogance, and the other side of, hey, I'm proud. But you got that chip on your shoulder still, but you go about and do your business. He's way too cocky for me. He doesn't do it for me. For me, look, I'm a Broncos fan. I'm excited for Joe Flacco. We now, for the first time in a long time, have a legitimate quarterback leading this team. Now, I don't know who he's going to throw to because we have no receivers there. Cortland Sutton's there still. Demaryius Thomas is gone. But I don't get it, man.
You know what? If Antonio Brown was dealt to Green Bay, I'd have said, you know what? 1,000-yard guy, let's go.
Where was John Elway on that? Look, they got a 3rd and a 5th round pick for Antonio Brown. John Elway could have phoned and said, hey, I'm giving my 4th for Joe Flacco. You want my 3rd, my 5th? Here you go, Mike Mayock. Or it wouldn't even be Mike Mayock in Oakland. It would have been in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, you have Joe Flacco and Antonio Brown. You have a legitimate wide receiver all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Joining this Denver Broncos team, but no. He goes to Oakland, and they don't even know if they're Oakland anymore.
They don't know if the
sky is blue.
It's confirmed. I would say, boo, the city of Oakland. You should have told the Raiders hit the bricks. I can't believe that they agreed to a new lease. Like, I would have told 21 years, Al and Mark Davis, for him to leave your house, and you take him back for one more year. No, yeah. Get the hell out of here.
You should put him in Halifax.
I'm going to be Oakland. No way you one more year here.
No,
you let them piss off. Go find somewhere else to play. Go be a traveling team. I'm not taking you back again for next year. No,
absolutely not. And wait a sec. I know you got your heart is a little hole in it. What are your Green Bay Packers going to do?
You know what? That's a tough spot they're in right now.
Mike McCarthy's gone. Well, there's rumors Randall Cobb could go.
Jordy Nelson might be a free agent soon. So you know what? Go get back Jordy Nelson. That's what I think they should be doing. And maybe
Brett Favre will come back.
Well, you know what? I think it'll always be Brett
Johnny,
Favre.
Johnny Manziel, you want to play in the NFL? Go play in Green Bay.
Ooh,
no. Speaking of what, he did sign.
In Memphis with the Memphis Express, who are currently 1-5, they've had their issues. They Zach Bettenberg went down, Christian Hackenberg went down.
Those are some painful names.
So,
Zach Bettenberger, former Tennessee Titan hopeful. Everybody thought he was going to be the next best thing, but no.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember Christian Hackenberg, next best thing for the New York Jets.
Didn't work out.
Johnny Manziel, you remember that name? Next best thing for the Cleveland Browns.
And now he's in.
And now they're all on one team in the AAF, and they still suck.
You know, the last place, Memphis Express. You know, I got to say this. People said this again before.
Where's Wes Welker? You want to go play over there, too?
To me, this is Johnny's last. This is his very, very, very last chance.
Yikes.
Because he can't play in XFL. XFL is also the policy of no criminal record.
The XFL.
So he can't even play there. So this is Johnny's last chance to try and do something as a quarterback.
I heard water polo is looking for a new athlete. You want to go play water polo, Johnny? Or tennis. But wait a minute. We have.
You know what it's called,
Brad? Wait a minute. We have a new Canadian champion in tennis.
Bianca Andreescu.
Woo!
Comes.
Say that name 10 times fast.
Bianca Andreescu.
Yeah.
Call it a segue, people. Becomes the youngest WTA women's champion since Venus.
Wait a minute. She's what? She's what?
She's a champion.
She's what? She's a champion. She's a champion. You get that? Canadian champion. Just like me. How good does it feel to be in the presence of greatness?
She won a real title. You bought a belt.
I still bought it. I still won, though.
Oh, she earned her title, boy.
I earned that.
Yeah, right.
I earned it. Yeah. My wife, I earned that.
Now, Bianca Andreescu earned her title with Indian Wells, knocking up Angelique Kerber in the final. And she goes from, in the world, she was not even in the top 100 in the world. She's now the 24th ranked player in the world.
24th. What kind of jump is that? And where is Milos Raonic? Where is, who's the other one?
Eugenie Bouchard. Ranked 72nd. She's 72 in the world.
Yeah, she hasn't done very good. You know,
not since she got hurt at the U.S. Open with a concussion.
She's too busy getting blind dates on Twitter.
Well, she's training. She's putting in work. Just that. Although I think we should be talking more about Francois Banda because she was tired than Eugenie, but you know what? Hey, end of the day, you want to see Canadian players thriving no matter who they are.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and the heck of a work ethic. I don't know if you've seen the timeout or the break they had. She was tired. Mm-hmm. She had no energy left, but she wanted it. That's what she told the coach. She's tired. I got nothing left, but I want it. And what'd she do? She went and got it. That's determination, that's drive right there. And it shows, even though you're on your last leg, if you give that one final push, you can get it done. And she got it done.
Yeah, she did. Absolutely. That's fighting through pain. That's fighting through anything. And Canada tennis, over the past 7 to 8 years, Canada has refined itself from being a country that had barely any impact in tennis to now being one. You've had players in Canadian tennis go to Wimbledon finals, win major tournaments, be ranked in the top 10. This is not just hockey. This is more than just a hockey country right now, Brad. I'm loving it.
Yeah, very much so. All we need is more baseball Canadian athletes.
Yeah, Canada has to make Canada. You know, I did an interview a couple hours ago with Ryan Greco, who covers basketball in Canada. And he also played baseball growing up. And Ryan made a point how Canada baseball is the one sport where it's a wasteland in terms of the senior level team, because in WBC, in back-to-back years, Canada's been spanked, and it hasn't even been close in what Canada's done. It's been embarrassing, quite frankly.
It's been a joke.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, it's been a joke. It's bad when you need Eric Gage and Ryan Dempster to come back and pitch for you. Dempster is 40-something years old, and he's going to come back and pitch for you because you can't find any better talent than that. You got to be kidding. Where was Matt Stairs? Maybe Matt Stairs will come back too. Where is the talent?
I mentioned Ryan Dempster, but here's the thing, too. Well, in fact, he was old. He's a broadcaster now. He left the update desk of the network. Yeah. To play again.
That's how bad our program is.
He left, the guy's a reporter now. Like, you actually seriously recruited a guy who is now doing highlights to play again in a world tournament.
Yeah, it's bad. It is bad. It is so bad.
Like, that, to me, Ryan Dempster, no offense to Ryan Dempster, he had a great career, but a guy who's now an analyst should not be your choice. You're pitching on the mountain world tournament like that caliber.
Oh, God, no. No, God, no. Especially when you're pitching against a stack. Oh, MLB, US.
The Dominicans lit him up. Yeah. The Dominicans ate him up in that tournament.
Like, yeah, it's garbage. Really quickly.
We have time.
We do have time now. Yeah, I didn't even.
Wait, you guys trying to not pay attention to the clock.
What time is it? Oh, yeah, we got time.
Guys, pay attention. There's no show.
I read it wrong. It's all good. I'm still in daylight savings time. It's all good.
What? We switched over last week.
Go ahead. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Anyway, I wanted to mention, talking to CFL, the big topic right now is, of course, the CBA, but the word is that the CFL, PA, and the CFL are discussing the idea of reducing the amount of Canadians starting or on the field from 6 Canadian starters to 5, and the idea of adding 2 global players, which would be for players not from North America. And you know what? I am very much in favor of the idea of adding a slot to international players, but the problem is that this is the Canadian Football League. This is the league that wants to help promote Canadian talent. And if you're going to hurt my Canadians that start every week in that, that, to me, that's an issue. I think, you know what? Some are going to like this. I have a lot of friends who play in the CFL who are American. Why look at less import? Why are we looking at reducing the Canadian numbers? Why not the import number?
Yeah, that's one thing that got me is, look, it's a Canadian Football League for a reason.
Yeah.
We need more Canadians. It needs to stay that way. I think the ratio still needs to stay Canadian to import, maybe 60-40, 70-30, whatever it may be. 50-50 even, but I strongly disagree to where the import numbers, we can't get to the import numbers being 60-40 or 70-30 in favor of the imports over the Canadians, because you're just going to, it's not going to be the Canadian Football League anymore, it's just going to be another league.
It's true, you're right. It will be, and this
will be another adopted American league.
Basically. Exactly. You, this league is about protecting Canadian players and giving guys who play in youth sports a place to play professionally.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, and some people are saying on Twitter how, you know, oh, the best man will rise. And you know what? Granted, yeah, you will have American, you will have guys, no matter what nationality, who deserve to be on these rosters.
Yeah.
But like you said, if you basically tell your own people, sorry, you can't be here or you're going to be pushed up by an American, yeah, then you have to protect your own to an extent in this league. You have to.
You have to. Otherwise, it's just going to become extinct. It truly, you know, it truly is. You're going to get overrun. And again, it's not going to be the Canadian football
league. No. I mean, and that's the problem is that if you turn it into a league where you reduce the ratio or there's no more ratio and this league is owned by American players and staff, what's to say that they don't once again bring up the old issues of why are we not gonna why do we have the Rouge? Why do we make it a 4-down game? Because 25 years ago, that was a real discussion when they had American teams.
That's just
true.
The
American coaches didn't get why the field was bigger. They didn't get why we didn't play 4 downs, and they didn't get why we had all these motions. They didn't get it. They wanted to. They felt it wasn't fair that there's all these rules for Canadian football, which is silly because it's a Canadian league. What are you mad about? But
yeah.
I don't want to see it happen again where there's a debate of where leagues change to an extent where it pushes out Canada from its own league.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. We were at the event in Edmonton on Thursday, and I couldn't agree more. The idea of, you know, expanding, and which is great, getting more exposure, but the ratio has to stay in heavily favored Canadian.
Yeah, and you know, we're at Randy Ambrosi, and I'll post the audio of our interview with Randy Ambrosi. Yeah. He was talking about fans, and a fan asked, of course, the goal is to eventually get to 10 teams with the Atlantic Schooners coming in. But a fan asked, and it was interesting how a fan asked, would you ever consider expanding again to America?
Now, oh, yes.
That to me is interesting because, you know, no one has really explored the idea of doing it again because, yes, the CFL got a ton of money from those expansion fees, but except for Baltimore, they were all giant tire fires of franchises.
They were. Yeah.
And that's the thing where Brody said, you know, it might be a possibility again one day, but let's make ourselves strong at home before we even consider expanding to a different country.
100%.
When the CFL expanded to America, they were desperate for money. They were broke. Yeah. They needed the cash for expansion.
So they that's why they expanded in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think that you know what? If you want to do it again in 15 to 20 years, when you are a strong league, okay, let's do it.
And we'll be the owners of that team in 15 to 20 years, right?
You never know. But yeah. for the love of everything that's holy, please do not expand to Shreveport, Louisiana, or the Deep South.
How about Buffalo? Bills? I'll adopt the Oakland Raiders.
You'll adopt the Oakland
Raiders. You need a home? Come on. Come to Edmonton.
You know what I think? Put a team in Spokane. Put a team in Portland. Put a team in Rochester. Like, put border towns.
Yeah.
Border cities.
Oregon.
Yeah. Like, if what, you know what is a place that people have never talked about is the CFL market? Well, and maybe it's a little bit too small. London, Ontario. Why are they never in the discussion for a CFL?
Yeah, interesting.
Like, that is a market where maybe because of the size, maybe because it's a little bit, me being the Albertan, even though I live in Ontario, I don't fully see geography of Ontario, even though I lived there before, but that's a place where I wonder why London or Windsor has never been in discussion for the CFL.
What about Ajax, Ontario? Oh,
Ajax. That's too small. Okay, even I know that's too small for pro football. Come on,
Angus.
Where?
Angus. That's too small too.
Angus.
Barrie, Ontario.
Barrie, Ontario. Let your wife family run the football team.
I'll do that. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be quite the trip. And I mentioned the dinner. Before we go, Alfonso Davies. The Edmonton boy with his first Bundesliga goal in the
goal! Goal! Alfonso Davies!
That's Spanish. It's American.
I did it.
He's in Germany!
Oh, so what?
We gonna see same place?
Yeah.
Anyone who's German who watches our show, we apologize.
I'll have a brass work for you at a beer.
You know, it's good to see a kid, an 18-year-old, an Edmonton boy, doing big things in international football scale.
It was cool. His family was there too to watch that. That was super cool.
You know, I think if I am Don Iveson, I am Canada Soccer, you gotta find a way somehow to get a Bayern Munich exhibition match in Edmonton. You gotta make it happen somehow.
Hey,
I go for sure.
Put your name in the hat for prime minister or mayor.
I think you gotta find a way to get Bayern playing, like a Bayern playing. I don't know.
FC Edmonton.
No, I would love that team. No, make it a Bayern.
How about the Nate? Ooh.
Make it a Bayern Man U or Bayern, like get even like a second, get like a lower tier. You can't get one of the big English teams.
How about that Sherwood Park Crusher versus
friggin' guy
versus Man U or Bayern Munich?
You can't get the Man U's or the Man City's. Get like a Wolves. Get like a.
How about the under 14?
Under 14s, yeah, that would be a great match. People come watch an 85-0 blowout. Because Brad's a sick man.
Woo!
You like seeing the hopes and dreams of children being crushed.
Hey, yours were crushed as a child. Mine were crushed. They have to be crushed about
you. Wow, you're going to be quite the father when you're just destroying your children's
dreams. I love kids. Don't worry. It's okay.
Anyways,
I'm just making a heel turn.
Wow. Anyways, trivia time. No one answered last week. We didn't have a winner. I have to go through it. We had a lot of people who answered correctly our last trivia question.
We did.
What was the AAF's final score in the first game? The Apollos won 40-6. We have four correct answers. We're going to go through that, see the timestamps, and see the first person was who got it right.
Avery's mom. No, I'm kidding.
She would get free dinner anyway, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Anyways.
Maybe your grandma.
So last week's question, we'll do it over again. Roll over this week. It was on Marcus Stroman. Who did his first win in major leagues come against? Mr. Marcus Stroman. Who did his first win in the majors come against?
Cool. Again, we want to thank Howie's. Thank Starlight Casino. We got to thank Matt. And we got to thank everyone involved. Tina, Shaq, Raymar, Dave, Mike Vickerman. Heck, we can even thank Brandy tonight for the guest appearance. And of course, I hope she's still watching. We also want to thank one of our biggest fans, our newest supporter, Miss Stephanie Howie, for everything she's doing for us as well. For us.
Yes.
And the Howie's and everything involved. So we appreciate you. It doesn't go unnoticed. Thank you for all you do, not even here, but every single day. So thank you so much. Again, Avery Lewis McDougal. I'm Brad Barskill. Episode 46 next week. And man, oh man, is it going to be a good one. Until then, we'll see you. Same time, same place. See you next Monday.
Later.